These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
That's right. It is Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. And it is presented by Professional Floor Covering. It is also brought to you in part by McKintry's Home Furnishings. If you close your doors in your home when company comes because of your inferior interior, speaking of McKintry's, they can help. They will be happy to sit down with you, discuss your decorating ideas, and formulate a complete plan for any or all the rooms in your home. Just bring them measurements and pictures of your room, determine any items you wish to keep, and then you can discuss your paint colors, furniture styles, area rugs, and accessories. Combining your ideas with their expertise, you will achieve the room plan you desire, while working within your budget as well. That's all there is to it. Stop in and see them today at McKintry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam, where customers matter and quality counts. Now, without further ado, we will throw it over to Terry Bell for today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV.
Thank you very much, Jake. Our guest for the next hour is State Representative Mark Bourne, who represents Beaver Dam and the surrounding area in the state legislature. And he's also a co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, and it's a very busy time for that very important committee right now. And if you've been following the news, you know it's been a very eventful week. So we look forward to a very informative hour with Representative Bourne. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you can call 885-4446. That's 885-4446 or 887-9595. That's 887-9595. Representative Bourne, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Always great to be here.
We're glad to have you. So it's been, as I mentioned, a very tumultuous week this week. Things seemed to be going on schedule, and then on the budgets, that is, the two-year state budget. But then this week, a couple of your colleagues in the Senate decided to pull out of the negotiations, and you can take from there. You can probably explain it a lot better than me.
Yeah. I mean, we were on schedule. We've done probably, I would guess, two-thirds of the budget now through the committee process, the executive sessions where we've been voting to craft the legislative budget, like I've had a chance to talk about on the air here a few times already this year. You know, last time I was on, I talked about the importance of negotiating with the governor because we really wanted to get a deal that included both tax cuts and investments in key areas. And we think it's just important for fiscal policy for the state. We have to remain competitive, especially in the Midwest, with our tax environment, or, you know, our economy is going to slow, and then we're not going to have the revenue to invest in education and roads and things like that that are important to folks. And so we really thought that approach was important. We've been working in good faith with the governor. I think we're very close to a deal, with a framework of a deal with the governor. And unfortunately, our Senate colleagues decided here, Wednesday night to stop those discussions. And that's unfortunate. We're hopeful that we'll get those started soon. We certainly stand ready in the assembly to start them today if they're willing to do that. I mean, I guess as soon as I'm off air here, I'd be ready to re-engage in those things. So hopefully we'll get started on that again soon. But it did delay things on Thursday then because of those that breakdown. And, you know, we never know. Every budget's different. And when you reach an impasse, sometimes it's just a few hours and folks don't even end up knowing about it then because you get it figured out and back into the committee pretty quickly. Or sometimes it's a few days and sometimes it's a few months. You know, my first budget on the committee, it was, you know, several months we were delayed back in the 17-19 budget, and we finished it in the fall. Certainly hope that's not the case here, but only time will tell, because when you're talking to folks and negotiating, you don't know when it's going to break down until it happens. Well, that happened now this here in the last couple days, and then the path forward is something that, you know, you got to figure out. So hopefully it will be quick. If we can get a path forward in the next couple of days, we can still finish the committee work next week, get it onto the floor the following week, and have a a budget on the governor's desk before the 4th of July, which is really the target. I mean, July 1st is the new budget, when the new budget should start. But of course, unlike the federal government here in Wisconsin, we just continue under current funding levels. So government doesn't shut down or anything if we're a week or two, you know, behind, or even months behind, really. But so we kind of have been targeting that July 4th, you know, to try to make sure that we're in on the both Senate and Assembly floors in the very first couple of days of July, get that budget passed out. So that's still the goal, but as you said here, is kind of the lead-in. It did break down a little bit this week, so if we can't get it restarted, it's going to be real hard to reach that goal. But the opportunity is still there. I'm hopeful my Senate colleagues will get back at the table and we'll figure it out here in the next few days.
Sure. I wouldn't ask you to speak on anybody else's behalf, but I will ask you as far as why this is happening now. But how do you feel about the fact that it is happening now at this relatively late stage in the game?
Yeah, usually if it does break down, that is when it happens, is when you reach an impasse, and you never know what that is either. You know, and back in the 17-19 budget, it was transportation. Both houses had a much different approach on how to fund transportation, and we didn't know until late June when that kind of got exposed in the discussions, like, whoa, we're not even close here. If you would have asked, you know, me in early June, we were on schedule and chugging right along and doing just like we have been here for the first 3 weeks of June. We were chugging right along. We were having good discussions both in May and June with the Senate and the governor's office. And then all of a sudden the position of the Senate kind of changed in those negotiations here in the last, I would say, probably 36 hours or so. And I may have my theories, but it's not really for me to explain why the other house, you know, changed their mind or decided to go a different route on Wednesday night. I just know that our assembly caucus is very united on this. We believe that, you know, like I said, having meaningful tax cuts and investments in key areas of government like transportation, education, healthcare is super important for a balance and a good budget, as far as fiscal policy, as far as the future of the state. And so we're going to continue to advocate for those things. We hope everybody gets back to the table soon to work on that.
Maybe you can give us a bit of a civics lesson here, but I'm thinking, you know, you in your position as the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, you know, how much pressure can you or persuasion can you apply to get the both, you know, get everybody back to the table?
Yeah, there isn't really a lot of pressure that one can apply. It's more of just trying to find common ground, continuing conversations. You know, Senator Mark Lyon is the Senate co-chair of the committee. He and I talked several times throughout the day yesterday. Senate Majority Leader Lemieux and Speaker Voss on the Assembly side also talked several times throughout the day yesterday. I'm sure we'll be continuing conversations, you know, today and this weekend. You know, we're not anybody's boss, right? You know, the boss is the people of Wisconsin that elected us both to the Assembly and the Senate. They're separate chambers of the legislature, much like the governor. You know, that's a different branch of government. He's not our boss either. And so, you know, there isn't a lot of, it's not like we can tell people what to do or make. We got to figure it out. We got to work on it. That's what we were sent there to do. And so, I think the things that create leverage would be more of what the community is saying, what we're maybe hearing in the media or how groups are reacting to it. And that's always a variety of opinions as well that are going to, there's going to be folks that are, you know, certainly fine with what the Senate's doing. There's certain folks that are fine with our position. And so that's why these things are challenging and why it's a lot of work. But it's important work because the two-year state budget, you know, impacts everyone in the state. There's, you know, we'll talk later about some of the bills that we did on the assembly floor this week that they have their own value of importance, and they certainly impact people and organizations in specific ways. But that's always a lot more targeted, you know, if it's a specific thing that impacts a specific business or something. But with the state budget, it impacts everyone. There are things in there that will touch every life in Wisconsin in some way, and a lot of things that will touch a lot of lives in a lot of ways. And so that's why it's a long and difficult process, but an important one to make sure that we are setting up our state in the best possible way to move forward with key investments and sound fiscal policy so that we continue to, you know, just make sure that Wisconsin is always a great place to live, work, raise a family. And lately I've been talking a lot more about also a great place to retire, because a key component of our tax plan is some tax relief for retirees here in Wisconsin.
You're right. We are going to talk plenty about all of the things that have happened in the budget so far and other legislation. But I also wanted to ask you about a couple of topics that are very high on the mind of people who are listening. But right now we're going to take a quick break and be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Sharon needed legal help. She needed Gruber Law Offices.
When I think about Gruber Law Office, I think about how they took care of me, how they make sure that you get what you're supposed to get. Gruber Law Office. One call, that's all. I will always, always trust One Call, that's all.
Injured? Call Gruber Law Offices today. One call, that's all.
They are the best. I'm very happy.
This week at the market at Beaver Dam, pick up Angus Pride boneless beef top sirloin steak just $9.99 a pound, or grill juicy all-natural boneless pork loin chops for $2.99 a pound. Cool down with our family ice cream, 48-ounce tubs, 3 for just $9.99. Don't forget chips, Lay's or Kettle are just 2 for $5. The market's weekly ads are going digital. Download the My Market app or visit mymarketstores.com. And there's perks to using that app. This week's app freebie is hell of a good French onion dip. Yep, free! Shop the market at Beaver Dam.
Consumers everywhere are rediscovering the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher, tastier, and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. And did you know the Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth hamburger and hot dog buns and rolls you love are baked right here in the Midwest? With the state-of-the-art bakeries and facilities throughout the Midwest, freshly baked buns and rolls are delivered fresh every day to your neighborhood grocers. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
Do you close your doors in your home when company comes?
McKinstry's Home Furnishings.
Do you have an inferior interior?
McKinstry's Home Furnishings.
We can help. Hi, this is Sandy from McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. We will be happy to sit down with you, discuss your decorating ideas, and formulate a complete plan for any or all the rooms in your home. Just bring us the measurements and pictures of your room. Determine any items you wish to keep. Then we can discuss your paint colors, furniture styles, area rugs, and accessories. Combining your ideas and our expertise, we will arrive at the room plan you desire and work within your budget. That's all there is to it. Stop in and see us today at McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam, where customers matter and quality counts.
McKinstry's Home Furnishings. Year after year,
McKinstry's. When the time comes for a helping hand, we're America's choice in home care. When you or your loved ones need assistance, visiting angels will be there.
During Men's Health Month, Visiting Angels reminds you that awareness is everything when it comes to improving overall health. Life is busy, and while it may not be easy to make time for ourselves, it's necessary. Let the men in your life know how important they are and encourage them to commit to that health checkup that they keep putting off. Having visiting angels visit dad throughout the week can also help their health. Their angels can contribute to healthy habits when it comes to diet and exercise and companionship. Visit Visiting Angels today at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com. visitingangels.com.
Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And we are back with more community comment here on 95.3 WBEV. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake. If you'd like to join in the conversation with Representative Mark Bourne, the phone number to call is 885-4446 or 877-9595. And we'll talk about legislation again, Mark, as the program goes on. But there are a couple things happening that people are really interested in and talking a lot about. And perhaps this is an opportunity to set the record straight on a few things. First of all, there's a situation right here in Dodge County. A local official is accused of animal mistreatment. And a lot of people are rightfully and understandably very upset about that. But in these conversations that are happening on social media, there's perhaps some inaccurate information going around. And maybe here's an opportunity for you to set the record straight as to, you know, what is and what isn't up to this point.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you don't want to assume that everything we're reading on social media is true, or certainly judge someone entirely based on that. But certainly the stuff that's been circulated in the community is concerning, if it's true. Sounds like, you know, things were not followed when it came to, you know, stray animal law here in Wisconsin, based on what we've heard so far. But obviously want to make sure that folks have their day in court and that the facts get, you know, figured out. But I think it's important for folks to know that, you know, if what is being talked about occurred in the way it did, you know, that's already unlawful in Wisconsin. There are laws in place regarding not just the treatment of animals in general, but specifically on the stray animals. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to cite you the whole law off the top of my head here, but there are specific things like you have to keep the animal for a certain number of days. You know, not a certain number of minutes. That sounds like it may have what happened in this case here. And while municipalities have the ability to decide on their own policy of how they're going to handle it, like, for example, here in the city of Beaver Dam, they contract with the Dodge County Humane Society. Other municipalities choose to say, we're going to handle it within our own municipality, and they, you know, put some cages in the town chairman's barn and secure the animals that way. But regardless, you have to have your policy, and it has to follow state law. And a key part of that is you have to keep the animal for a certain number of days to give the owner the opportunity to try to locate it. And I think it's 5 days, but I could be a day or so off there. You know, again, I'm not going to be able to cite the statute specifically word for word and number for number, but it's a certain number of days for sure. I think it's 5 days. And, you know, even if the animal's aggressive, that doesn't matter. You still have to keep it for the number of days and control that in some way. And then if it's, you know, a danger, then you can move through the statutory allowances of working with the proper euthanizing of the animal and that sort of thing, if it's a threat, you know. But that's not decisions that can be made immediately. And so, you know, there are laws in place. I think that from what we've seen from the Sheriff's Department communications, they've done their job to do the investigation and refer the charges. Now it's, you know, up to the district attorney to decide the right charges and then you know, execute that properly in a court, and then folks can get their day in court. So, you know, we'll see how the process works out. But I just wanted folks to know that there are already all laws in place. It's a felony to do at least what this person's accused of, and I think that's what they're being charged with, and you know, that's the proper thing to have then their day in court and let the system run its course.
Irregardless of this case, let's just create a broad hypothetical. I'm a property owner in Dodge County. A stray dog comes onto my property. I don't have the ability or the inclination to keep it for 5 days. Should I call the Humane Society right away?
Yeah, you're not the individuals that are not required to do that. It's the municipality's job to do that, to maintain compliance with those statutes. And that's why I said municipalities can choose how to do it. You know, and so in this case, this township chooses to control their own stray animals. So that's why the Humane Society referred them to this town chairman. Other places, like here in the city, they choose to say, well, we're not going to, you know, we don't want the police department to have to manage these cages with all these animals and stuff. So we're contracting with the Humane Society to do that. And, you know, I think that's the way it is throughout the state. And, you know, it's a local government decision to decide how they want to do it. But once they decide how they want to do it, they have to comply with the laws.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, like you say, we'll see what happens, you know, in the weeks to come, how that'll play out as just charging decisions and prosecuting decisions are made.
Sure. And maybe we'll learn something along the way that there's an opportunity to tweak the statute. And if there is, we'll certainly look at that. But I just want folks to know that if what is being talked about in social media is what occurred, that is already clearly unlawful in the state of Wisconsin. There are already statutes in place to protect that sort of thing from happening, and now the system should run its course.
Our guest is Representative Mark Bourne. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. A break for the news now, and we'll be right back.
Summer just got a whole lot hotter with the WBEV 95K giveaway presented by Newman Pools and Hometown Glass and Improvement. Join us all summer long at any Brock Fry location from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and try to crack the code on our prize vault for your shot at winning $95,000. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older to enter. One winner per household, one entry per person per stop. For complete rules and details and to find a complete Brock Fry schedule, visit daily.com.
It's not enough for a hospital to have expert doctors, innovative medical technology, or the most comfortable waiting rooms. It's not enough to be close by, conveniently around the corner when you need to be treated. The best care comes from people with a calling to heal, to comfort, to connect, and to never stop searching for answers. Because at Watertown Regional Medical Center, that's why we're here.
The two best things in life are a great sleep from Slumberland Furniture and your favorite radio station. This is 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, live from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. President Trump has a morning security briefing before leaving for his golf club in New Jersey to weigh next moves in the Iran-Israel war. ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv.
The civilian death toll rising on both sides, though most deaths reported in Iran. Israel and Iran both issuing evacuation orders to residents in each other's country, warning that operations may be taking place.
And they are. Israeli missiles hit a third Iranian hospital, even as Israeli Ambassador Daniel Maron rails about Iran's attack yesterday on one of its hospitals.
Soroka is a civilian target. It is a civilian hospital that has been targeted by the Iranians.
Israel reporting Iran fired a barrage of about 20 more missiles into Israel a short time ago. Iran is meeting now with European diplomats in Geneva. Summer arrives tonight with dangerous heat affecting 100 million Americans this weekend. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
WBEV News, I'm Terry Bell. A suspect is under arrest in the death of a dog near Waupun this week. The Dodge County Sheriff says a man was arrested in the town of Chester yesterday afternoon. The Golden Retriever was reported dead Tuesday night. The weather could get dangerously hot and humid tomorrow. The Beaver Dam Fire Department tells WBEV that the Beaver Dam Community Library and the lobby of the Dodge County YMCA will be open to the public. Anyone who doesn't have air conditioning at home is welcome at either location to cool off during regular operating hours. Efforts to pass a state budget on time have broken down less than 2 weeks from the end of the fiscal year. Republicans who control the Wisconsin legislature say their efforts to negotiate with Democratic Governor Tony Evers have stalled. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee was supposed to take some votes on the budget yesterday, but that session has been postponed. The agency that serves seniors and people with disabilities in Dodge County is looking for volunteers for its meals program. Volunteers staff the kitchens at several dining sites or deliver home meals. Most roles take an hour or so. Volunteers can work as little or as often as they can. Drivers get reimbursed for mileage. You can find out more at dodge.wy.gov. I'm Terry Bell, reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
A heat advisory begins at noon tomorrow and remains in effect until 7 p.m. Monday night. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms today, otherwise sunshine mixed with clouds at times. High temperatures reach up to 83. Southerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 72. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, 70.
Bikers need protection, not just from other drivers, but unfortunately from insurance companies too. If you've been injured in a motorcycle crash, call Gruber Law Offices today. Bikers are often blamed for causing the accident because the insurance companies simply don't want to pay. At Gruber Law Offices, we've been fighting for injured bikers and their families for more than 30 years. Trust us to fight for what you deserve. Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, it's not Christmas, it's rummaging season. If you're hosting a rummage, garage, yard, or estate sale and want to get the word out, drop off a card with a date, time, and location in the mailbox in front of the WBEV studios at 100 Bill McCollum Way in Beaver Dam. Each Thursday morning at 8:35 a.m., we'll announce it on the WBEV Morning Show. Or look for the rummage sale post on WBEV Radio Facebook each week and leave your details in the comments.
Finding the right care for your loved one is one of the most important decisions you'll make. At Clearview, we provide more than just a place to stay. We offer a nurturing environment where comfort, dignity, and compassion come first. This is Ashley Kuhn, admissions coordinator for Clearview. Give me a call at 920-386-3532 to schedule a tour and see what Clearview can offer for you. Clearview, where compassion is the heart of our exceptional care.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And we are back here with Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. Presented by our friends at Professional Floor Covering and Abbey Design Center at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. They are locally owned. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space with over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. Speaking of those showers, let their team help you design a shower you can unwind and relax in. From color and material choice to size and arrangement, there are a lot of design choices that need to be made before beginning the remodeling process. And now, without further ado, we will throw it back over to Terry Bell for today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV.
Thank you very much, Jake Hayes. Our guest is Representative Mark Bourne, and if you have a question for the representative, join in the conversation, 885-4446 or 887-9595. And Mark, since the last time you were on Community Comments, one of the big things that captured the world's attention was the political violence in Minnesota. You have one lawmaker dead and one spouse dead and one lawmaker wounded and another spouse wounded. And that, since the Wisconsin legislature's in session right now, that prompted some uptick in security. Mm-hmm. What exactly was put in place?
Yeah, I mean, certainly shocking, scary events there in Minnesota, something that thankfully has not happened very often in our nation's history. Hopefully never happens again, but pretty scary weekend for folks that serve in government, and certainly had a lot of, you know, my colleagues and myself thinking about our family's safety and things like that, worrying about copycat behavior. You know, in this line of work, we deal with threats on a, unfortunately, somewhat regular basis. We get threats to the office. I get threats to some of my personal phone, things like that. You know, we turn those things over to Capitol Police. But this certainly took it to a whole new level of seriousness. And there were some adjustments made to security at the Capitol this week. Certainly not anything that I'm going to discuss in any detail. I don't think that's good for the security folks to be oversharing information. But we did make some adjustments, and I think we talked about it as a caucus. I think we're going to work with the Senate and the governor's office in the coming weeks to talk about overall the best plan for the state Capitol. I don't expect that there will be, you know, major changes. It's still the people's house. I still think that certainly our caucus is interested in remaining as open as possible, both in the Capitol as well as in our lives. You know, there was a question raised in the press conference at the Capitol this week about we passed a law, I think last session, to make judges' home addresses private after a judge was killed in central Wisconsin. And you know, I think that was the right thing to do. But we were asked if we were going to do the same thing for our addresses. And I think our instinct on that is no. You know, we are public officials. We are very public officials. You know, that's the job, is to interact with our constituents and make sure that we have our finger on the pulse of the community. You know, that's why I'll be, helping serve breakfast at the Fond du Lac County Dairy Breakfast on Sunday and things like that. And so we want to make sure we remain accessible, but we got to find a way to balance that with proper security precautions, certainly for the Capitol as well as for our families and stuff. And so those discussions will be ongoing, but I think it's right to take a little bit of a pause so that we don't have knee-jerk reactions to what was just an awful, terrible, tragic event.
Right. But I mean, as you mentioned, even though people in Wisconsin government seek to be accessible and available to the people and open, it would be very easy for someone with bad intentions to find out where a state lawmaker lives and do harm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the concerns, you know, and so trying to find the right balance there. And I think for a lot of us, we worry more about our families even than ourselves, too. You know, we chose to run for these offices. We understand some of the risks that come with it. Hopefully not risking your life. I don't think that's what people thought when they got into this. And that's, you know, what happened in Minnesota this past weekend. But we know that there's going to be, you know, issues at times. I've had a fair amount of mostly phone threats over the years that, you know, thankfully I've never really panned out to be anything. But it is part of the job. I think that both the sheriff and police chief here in Beaver Dam have been always good to work with when there have been some things of concern. Well, they've never had to do anything, you know, major, but there's been times where I just wanted to let them know about things like, you know, here's something that happened on Facebook just to make your agency aware of it in case it escalates, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff. And so they've always been very good about working with me on that stuff too. And, so it's not something that's new. It's just escalated in a way because of this, thankfully unusual, but really awful incident in Minnesota.
Well, yeah, and it may be a symptom of another problem is that, the way people talk to one another now has mm-hmm. changed, and there's almost kind of this dehumanizing effect, right. And, you know, yeah. where people look at someone they disagree with and not just see someone they disagree with, but some sort of villain that needs to be dealt with, and they feel they need to take matters into their own hands.
Yeah, and I mean, most of that's probably social media. That's where a lot of it occurs and stuff, too. I mean, it's really stunning some days to see, you know, the things that people will post to like my Facebook page, my official Facebook pages for comments and stuff that, you know, that people would choose to talk in those ways or suggest those things as kind of in some ways a breakdown of society, but it is where we're at. And, certainly I understand that people are passionate about things, and that's great. And they certainly have their right to speech and their opinions. They certainly have their right to have their opinions shared with me. But you're right. It has escalated in ways, and people like to try to blame certain people for that and stuff. But I think it's more of just the way society has chosen to evolve in what is a pretty negative way, and social media certainly plays a big role of that. And it's one thing when it's words, but when it leads to like the kind of violence that it did this weekend in Minnesota, it's a whole new level of scary.
Let's make a hard pivot here. We were talking about the budget earlier kind of where things are stalled. But I think you mentioned that really work on the proposal that you'll send to the governor's desk is about two-thirds done. Mm-hmm. And what is in there that you think people ought to know about and feel good about?
Well, a budget impacts everyone. There's a lot of good stuff in there. You know, we put some new money into education, I think a couple weeks ago now. And, of course, everyone has an opinion of whether it's too much or not enough. But the fact is we know that special education costs are very high for schools. These are federally mandated things. And, we put another, I think it was about $229 million, I think is the number. It's certainly more than $200 million more into that. When you look at the investment in the K-12 and the committee action was about $330 million. You couple that with the 400-year veto of $325 per pupil, and there is more than $1 billion of new money going into Wisconsin schools and with this budget and current law. And so that's another significant investment in K-12 education. Obviously, we're still hearing from a lot of folks that it should be more, but you know, over $1 billion of new spendable money into schools is a significant investment, and that's important. Earlier this week, we made some investments in our public safety. You know, prisons are expensive to run, but they are a key part of public safety here in Wisconsin. We made massive increases in the last budget in employee wages for security staff to try to right-size that and to lower what we were seeing as huge vacancy rates and making it difficult to run some prisons. That's been a success. Recruit classes are way up. Our vacancy rates are about half what they were. Now, still higher than we want them to be, but super high to moderate high is, you know, better. And so we had to continue those investments to make sure we're funding things like the overtime that comes with those higher wages, to make sure the security staff are able to run those prisons safely and with the constitutional protections that folks have to have there. So that's a key expensive investment that just has to happen. We also invested in public defenders and district attorneys across the state because the court system has slowed down with not enough attorneys on both sides. Again, you got to have both sides. You got to have a fair system. You got to make sure that people have their constitutional protections, and you got to make sure that victims get their day in court. And so we added 42 ADAs in this budget. To kind of give folks a point of reference, there are a little over 400 district attorneys now. So that's like a 10% increase. That's a significant change. Some counties that we're really seeing things slow down in were Brown and Waukesha. So 7 new ADAs in Brown County, 6 in Waukesha. Fond du Lac in this area was another one. They're getting 4 new ADAs. So just trying to make sure that, you know, they're able to do what they need to do to keep our community safe. Between the court stuff and the corrections stuff, public safety is a key issue, and so there were a lot of key investments made there.
Corrections is particularly important in this district where we have the Waupun prison in particular. Mm-hmm. You know, what does this budget do to ensure that, you know, that corrections will be, you know, an important driver of the local economy?
Well, so far with those investments in operations, that's key to keep those prisons running properly and well in this region and everywhere else in the state. And then the next step is the capital side of things. We got to make investments in our prisons to right size them and make sure that they're able to do the things. The governor has a plan. It needs some tweaks. That was something we were hoping to take up on Thursday before things got delayed. So hopefully the next time we're in, we'll be able to do that. But to me, I think the key thing is we got to make investments there to do the design work, to figure out the right projects for the future of our prison system. The governor's plan is a good start. There's more work to be done, and so we look forward to working on that. And one of the key parts of that is the Waupun Correctional Facility right there in the heart of Waupun. And, you know, I think that its days as a maximum security prison, you know, are probably short in the long term because it's not the right way to run a max anymore. But the opportunity to take down some of those old cell halls, build some new cell halls, and still keep a lot of the framework and the guts of other parts of that prison that aren't that old, and make sure that we've got a future for Waupun Correctional. I think that's important, and I think there's opportunity to continue that work in the state budget.
I'm thinking back to, I think it was last summer, and there was a lengthy and at times very powerful public hearing about conditions inside the prisons for both people who work there and the inmates who are housed there. How much of an impact has the feedback lawmakers beginning at the public had been on shaping this budget?
Well, that's one of the keys to figuring out the future, because both Waupun and Green Bay Correctional, as our state's oldest prisons, they're just not the way to run a prison anymore. And that's not the fault of anyone that works there. They're doing the best they can. You know, those are tough jobs. They're doing a good job trying to manage. But the age and the design of those facilities is not a way to run a maximum security prison. and be able to do it well and safely and with the proper constitutional protections. And so that's why we got to right size this for the future. We got to, you know, stop trying. And also just for the expense, they're just super expensive to run. Just to run them safely, we need more staff and things. And so to redesign some of those, and in the case of Green Bay, just outright close it is definitely the right path for the future. The devil is always in the details. What facilities do you add to or reconstruct or renovate to get the right combination of maximum, medium, minimum security beds for the state to meet that population needs? Because we got to have the right mix of facilities. We got to have facilities that we can run safely, because it's a super important part of our criminal justice system and our public safety here in Wisconsin. And it's often forgot about by a lot of folks. You know, a lot of folks know either police officer, your sheriff deputy, even the courts, you know, like, oh, I know my DA, but the folks working behind those walls are a key part of public safety. They're doing really important work, and we got to make sure that we can, you know, build, renovate, whatever we got to do of those facilities for the future, because there are bad people in our communities that just need to be locked up sometimes. That's just a fact of life, and that's not going to change, and we need to figure out what the future of that looks like for the state of Wisconsin.
Our guest is Representative Mark Bourne, and you're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. We're going to take a break here and be right back.
Sherry, you've said I'm full of something I can't say on the air before, but now you'll have a chance to make that a reality.
You bet. We're facing off for the Good Karma Brand's John Moser Children's Radiothon again. This year's loser doesn't have to eat anything besides crow, but what they'll have to smell, on the other hand.
The loser will enjoy some cow pies. Again, no eating, but we'll partake in good old-fashioned poop shoveling at the Dodge County Fair.
And by we, Wade means himself. I'm going to secure the most donations and kick his butt again.
Doctors Jackie and Colby McIntyre of Marshview Veterinary Clinic in Randolph are here to help make sure your pet is healthy both physically and mentally.
Our practice philosophy includes making sure that we are addressing not only preventative health, but day-to-day mental health and well-being. Dogs that have anxiety, there's options for medications for that. Dogs that have behavior issues, there's medications that we can layer in to help keep those animals comfortable and happy.
To make an appointment, call Marshview Veterinary Clinic in Randolph today or visit marshviewvetclinic.com.
When life starts to sound a little bit like this, that's when you know it may be time to change your tune. The Wisconsin Lottery has exciting games starting at just $1 to help make your day sound more like this.
Scratch off, scratch off.
Quick pick, quick pick.
Fast play, fast play.
Jackpot, jackpot.
With so many chances to win all kinds of prizes and new games introduced all the time, including more than 80 new Scratch games every year, you'll be saying,
Wisconsin Lottery, better than laundry. So many ways to play, may add some fun to my day.
Right. Wisconsin Lottery has Scratch games, Lotto draw games, and Fast Play games starting at $1, with prizes ranging from small to jackpot. Available now at your favorite Wisconsin Lottery retailers.
95.3 WBEV, another world-famous brat fry. We've made our way to Waupun today. We're at Verhaeghe's Furniture, one of the historic locations here in Waupun. And you can get that Pernat's brat and a drink until 1 o'clock here today. And I've got Luke with us here from Verhaeghe's. Luke, what a great day for a brat fry, huh?
It's a beautiful day, a little overcast. But, hey, we've got the tent sale going on here. And it's a nice dry time in the tent. Enjoy a little brat fry and catch a good sale in the store and in the tent. So
it's the red, white, and boom sale. Is that what it's called?
Yes. So usually in June or July, we have tent sales going on, and we like to have a little bit of fun for the 4th of July. So leading up to the 4th, we have a nice tent sale.
Tell us exactly where Verhaeghe's is located. It's been here forever, but if somebody maybe hasn't been here before, how do they find their way here today?
Yeah, so we're located at 806 West Main Street in Waupun. The store's been around for 52 years this year, and my brother and I have owned the store yet for about 2 years now.
Beautiful showroom. Whether you're looking for something in almost any room of the house, you kind of have your... Explain what they'll find when they stop in and take a look.
So we have a little bit of everything from furniture to mattress. We have something for everybody.
It should be great here today. I'm looking at all these recliners here today. And it's always a... key for somebody to have the perfect recliner in their house, isn't it?
It is, especially this time of year, Father's Day, 4th of July. You want to kick back and relax.
So it should be good here today. Again, it's going to be a fun day here today. Come on out. You can browse the showroom, browse the tent sale, get yourself that Pernat's Brat and the drink. Also, if they come out, we have the 95K Sizzler Sweepstakes. Have you seen the vault yet today, Luke?
I have not yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
You punch in a 6-digit code. If you can crack the code, $95,000.
That's crazy. That's awesome. I hope everybody gets a chance to come out and get a chance to win that.
And that's also brought to you with our friends from Hometown Glass and Improvement and Newman Pools. But the big thing here, Brat Fry, Verhaeghe's in Waupun. Again, Luke, how do we find you?
806 West Main Street in Waupun, right next to Quick Trip.
Come on out until 1 o'clock. We're broadcasting here on 95.3 WBEV.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And back with one more segment for today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake. We're talking with Representative Mark Bourne about things that are happening in the state legislature that affect us here at home. And along those lines, you did get some work done this week that you feel will be helpful.
Yeah, we were in session, I'm not even sure what day now, Wednesday maybe?
It all becomes a blur.
It's all a blur this week. And, but we did a few things. I think the biggest one is finally a compromise was found on the nurse practitioners, NPAR and bill. And this is an important one because especially in our rural areas, you know, there's just fewer doctors, there's less access for folks. And so to let those nurse practitioners really practice to their full scope of their training, be able to provide more things. They still can't and won't and shouldn't do everything that a doctor does. It's different levels, but they have a lot more training than folks I think maybe even realize. And to make sure that they can work within their full scope of practice and provide more of that routine care for folks throughout our communities, as we're seeing, you know, more and more of a doctor shortage. Like we're seeing shortages across a lot of different industries and employment sectors. And so that's something that's been worked on for, oh, I bet you, 10 years. And you know, there's a lot of struggling between the doctors and nurse practitioners trying to figure out what the right balance was, and some struggling with the governor on it. So finally got that done. That's a really good thing for access to health care throughout Wisconsin. And the other one that kind of got some attention is trying to help folks that are independent contractors in these jobs like Uber and the delivery systems and things like that, like Uber Eats or the other ones whose names are escaping me right now. But to allow folks to use some of their earnings to go towards like healthcare or retirement, because you know they're technically independent contractors. They don't work for the specific companies. A lot of them work for multiple companies in that independent contractor space. You know, you're driving for Uber and Lyft, and so allowing them the opportunity under state some tweaks to state law to use some of their earnings then as retirement or health insurance. And so, you know, I just think those are good as we're getting more folks in this, some call it the gig economy, where there's more of this independent business person stuff and have opportunities for them to also plan for their future or their health care. I think those are things that the state law wasn't able to keep up with the changes in the workforce and the economy in that way. And so we had to make some tweaks. And so it was good to see that get done.
You're going to have some opportunities to meet with your constituents since this is June. Dairy breakfasts are a big part of that. You're going to be out and about.
Yeah, well, I'll be in at the Fond du Lac County Dairy Breakfast on Sunday. Looking forward to seeing folks there and, you know, serving up some eggs or pancakes or whatever job they assign me to when I get there for a couple hours. And, you know, those are I'm looking forward to getting back to more of that. I really hope that we get the budget back on track and get this budget done here in the next couple of weeks, because I've been in Madison a lot working on the budget. It's missing out on a lot of local things like this. So good to be back for the dairy breakfast. Was at the Dodge County one a few weeks ago. You know, did have a chance to enjoy some of the festival downtown Beaver Dam last week. But missing out on too much of that stuff here in the district. So looking forward to get back into more of that as the summer moves on.
I was going to say summertime has got to be your best opportunity for, you know, getting face time with the people you represent.
Yeah, and it's super important. You know, like we talked about, these are public positions. We need to be able to interact with our communities. You know, things like community comment is a great opportunity to be able to share with folks what's going on and you know, sometimes hear from them when they choose to call in. But being able to get out to those community events are really great opportunities for that. And, you know, there's always so many great things to do in Wisconsin in the summer. The 37th Assembly District is no different than that. And so, you know, coming up here in a couple of weeks, I'll get to be in Knowles for the 4th of July parade. That's always a huge crowd. Good to see the folks in the northeast part of the district for that. And those opportunities are super important, and you can get a good variety of feedback. And there's other ways, obviously, to communicate with us, and we have listening sessions, and folks call the office and things like that. But a lot of times folks only call the office when they're really upset about something, and which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but I want to hear from other people too. And so it's good at these community events to be able to hear both from the people that have concerns or maybe are upset about something, but also we just want to say, hey, I heard you did this and I like this, you know, and to kind of keep that gauge of, okay, are the things we're working on, are they really, you know, reflecting the desires of the community? And that's the best way to do that is when you can see people. And you know, at the Dodge County Dairy Breakfast, I had a chance to talk to a lot of folks, and a lot of them just said, you know, thanks. We know that you're working hard for us, and we appreciate that. And so it's good to have that opportunity to just touch base with folks and make sure that they are still saying that and they're not concerned about what's going on.
State Representative Mark Bourne, thank you for time well spent this morning.
Good to be here, as
this
always.
This has been Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
This Friday, from 6 to 9 p.m., it's Jam by the Dam at Tahoe Park in Beaver Dam with Frank Childress and the Main Street Band. Free music, a brand new stage, and good vibes all night. Bring your lawn chairs, coolers, and picnic baskets. Don't miss Jam by the Dam this Friday at Tahoe Park.
Good Karma Brands is proud to be an equal opportunity employer. Our policy is to provide equal opportunity employment, development, and advancement to all current and potential teammates. If you are an organization that maintains a job bank, provides employment information, or gives job referrals, you may request to be placed on the station's mailing list for future career opportunities. To learn more about careers at Good Karma Brands, please email careers@goodkarmabrands.com.